ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 3rd chapter, talks between Lord Shiva and Sati. Text 17. Vidya,
Vidya
Tapo,
Tapo
Vitya,
Vitya
Vapur,
Vapur
Vayaha,
Vayaha
Kulai,
Kulai
Satam,
Satam
Gunai,
Gunai
Shadbhir
Asattame
Tarai Smritau Hatayam Bhrita Mana Durdrishaha Vidya Tapo Vidya Bapur Vayah Kulai Satam Gunai Shadbhir Asattame Tarai Smrito Hatayam Bhritamana Durdisha Stabdhana Pashyanti Hidham Bhuyasam Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. Please repeat after me. Although the six qualities, education,
austerity,
wealth,
beauty,
youth,
and heritage
are for the highly elevated. One who is proud of possessing them
becomes blind.
And thus he loses his good senses
and cannot appreciate
the glories of great personality. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It may be argued that since Daksha was very learned, wealthy and austere and had descended from a very exalted heritage, how could he be unnecessarily angry towards another? The answer is that when the qualities of good education, good parentage, beauty and sufficient wealth are misplaced in a person who is puffed up by all these possessions, they produce a very bad result. Milk is a very nice food, but when milk is touched by an envious serpent, it becomes poisonous. Similarly, material assets such as education, wealth, beauty and good parentage are undoubtedly nice, but when they decorate persons of a malicious nature, then they act adversely. Another example given by Chanakya Pandit is that a serpent that has a jewel on its head is still fearful because it's a serpent. A serpent by nature is envious of another living creature, even though they be faultless. When a serpent bites another creature, it is not necessarily because the other creature is at fault. It is the habit of the serpent to bite innocent creatures. Similarly, although Daksha was qualified by many material assets because he was proud of his possessions, and because he was envious, all those qualities were polluted. It is sometimes therefore detrimental for a person advancing in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness to possess such material assets. Kunti Devi, while offering prayers to Krishna, addressed him as Akinchana Gochara, one who is easily approached by those who are bereft of all material acquisitions. Material exhaustion is an advantage for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Although, if one is conscious of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can utilize one's material assets such as great learning and beauty and exalted ancestry for the service of the Lord. Then such assets become glorious. In other words, unless one is Krishna conscious, all his material possessions are zero. But when this zero is by the side of the Supreme One, it at once increases in value to 10. Unless situated by the side of the Supreme One zero is always zero. One may add 100 zeros, but the value will still remain zero. Unless one's material assets are used in Krishna consciousness, they may play havoc and degrade the possessor. Vidya tapo vitta bopur vayah kulai satam gunai sadbhir asattame tarai smrito hatayan bhritaman durdrishah stabdhana pashyanti hidham bhuyasam. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth and heritage are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind. And thus he loses his good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. So Lord Shiva is responding to Sati's request. Sati, when she got to know that her father was performing a very great sacrifice, where all the demigods, all the sages, all the exalted personalities were going to attend, she also wanted to go there, although not invited. And Sati was not invited because Daksha got into a conflict with Lord Shiva. It is not the fault of Lord Shiva. He was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and as a result of that, he could not properly respond to Daksha when he entered into the assembly, and as a result of that, Daksha became very, very upset. He felt that Lord Shiva deliberately insulted him by not standing up to greet him. And that's why Daksha developed a great animosity towards Lord Shiva. And as a result of that, although in that sacrifice everyone practically was invited, all the exalted personalities were invited, Lord Shiva and Sati were not invited. Although Sati was Daksha's daughter, and a very dear daughter at that. Of all the daughters of Daksha at that time, Sati was his dearmost. But on Brahma's request, or Brahma's suggestion, he offered Sati to Lord Shiva. And now he developed animosity and he did not invite Sati and Lord Shiva. But still Sati wanted to go. She was pleading to Lord Shiva, "Please let me go. After all, he is my father and I am his daughter, and a daughter doesn't need any invitation to go to the father's house." That was her main point. Like, I don't need an invitation. Like, I'll just go there. But Lord Shiva is reminding her or advising her not to go by giving proper reasons. And these are the verses that Lord Shiva was giving the reasons. That even though a person may be endowed with all these six great qualities, vidya, learning, tapo, austerity, then vitya, wealth, bopu, beauty, vayaha, youth, kulai, and great heritage, birth in a very, very exalted family. Actually, Daksha had all of them. He was very learned, naturally. He was very opulent. He performed great austerities. He was very expert in performing austerities. He was very handsome. He had a powerful body, full of vitality. He was born in a very exalted family. He was the son of Brahma. Daksha is one of the 10 sons of Brahma. And so in this way, he was very exalted in all respects. But Lord Shiva is pointing out that even though one may have all these six qualities, but if one is proud, proud means if one is in material consciousness, then these qualities act in a detrimental way. Instead of becoming assets, instead of becoming ornaments, they actually become a hindrance to their character. They become blemishes to their character because they become proud, they become puffed up, they become arrogant, and as a result of that, he loses all the good qualities. And Prabhupada is pointing out, they all become zeros. So the proper utilization of one's qualities and wealth and opulence and beauty and strength, fame, power, all that must be utilized in the service of Krishna. Unless they are utilized in the service of Krishna, they are simply useless. They are simply meaningless. And Prabhupada is pointing out all these qualities become zero. But when they are placed after the Supreme One, that is, when they are used in the service of Krishna, then they multiply. Each zero multiplies by 10. Addition of each zero will lead to multiplication of by 10 of the preceding one. And also Lord Shiva knew what would be the consequence of Sati's going there. A personality like Lord Shiva knows the time in all three aspects. But besides that, another thing is that such an exalted personality or a personality who is endowed with Vedic wisdom, spiritual wisdom, can foresee things from its sequence. Like he could see what was the problem with Daksha. Daksha was in his bodily consciousness of life. He was in material consciousness. Unfortunately, Daksha couldn't become a devotee of the Lord. Although Daksha, the word Daksha actually means expert. He was expert in everything. He even wanted to create something other than Brahma's creation. He wanted to become Brahma's competitor at one time. He was so expert. But all his expertise culminated into nothing. It all became a big zero. And not only that, he got a head of a goat. Goat, because a goat is a goat. stupid. Although his body is very qualified, very expert, but his head is that of a goat. And that will come later on. But we can see, I mean, how Daksha developed his animosity unnecessarily with Lord Shiva. And it's all because he considered that I am the greatest. Actually, he was performing this sacrifice because Brahma appointed him as the head of the Prajapatis. The Prajapatis are the progenitors. The all those exalted personalities who are going to assist Brahma in filling the universe with prajas, with living entities. And Daksha became the head of them. Brahma appointed Daksha as the head. There were others. Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, the great sages, there was Kashyap, all these personalities, but Daksha became the head of all the Prajapatis. And prior to that, when he was, he appeared in the assembly of the demigods, everyone, all the demigods and all the great personalities were present there. Great rishis, also sons of Brahma. And as soon as Daksha entered, they all stood up to show him respect. And only two persons didn't stand up. One was Brahma, and the other was Lord Shiva. Brahma's not standing up was understandable because Brahma is his father. He is greater than him. But Daksha noticed that Lord Shiva did not offer him obeisance. And his mood was something like, why didn't you offer me obeisances? And also Brahma, afterwards when Daksha entered, Brahma started to glorify Daksha for his wonderful abilities and qualities. Lord Shiva just kept on sitting there. And Daksha, we can see how materialistic a personality he was, that he became furious and he started to insult Lord Shiva. He started to insult Lord Shiva, and but Lord Shiva did not say anything. He just sat there. But Nandishar, Lord Shiva's associate, couldn't bear that, couldn't tolerate that. He became upset. And he cursed the Brahmanas. Those actually who approved that act of Daksha without protesting. Because no one protested, he took it as an offense. That such a great personality has been insulted. Actually, in reality, Lord Shiva's position is even greater than Brahma's position. Brahma is a jiva tattva, whereas Lord Shiva is a shiva tattva, which is greater than jiva tattva. Something between jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva. Not quite Vishnu tattva, but it is almost Vishnu tattva. Just as it has been described, kshirang yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Just as milk turns into yogurt with the contact of acid, similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, became Shiva. So he has been transformed. The difference is, Vishnu can become Shiva, but Shiva cannot become Vishnu. Milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. That is the only difference. And why? He did that in order to achieve, in order to accomplish a very special mission. One of that is to destroy this material creation. And another more important consideration is to transmit the living entities from the spiritual sky and bring them to the material nature. It is through the agency of Lord Shiva that the living entities come down to this material nature. Why through the agency of Lord Shiva? Because Vishnu cannot directly deal with the material nature, because material nature is his external potency. He cannot possibly deal with the external potency directly. Then this external energy will become his internal potency, if it deals directly. So he can't deal with the external potency. Therefore, through the agency of Lord Shiva, he deals with the material nature. Therefore, material nature is Mahamaya or Durga, and Lord Shiva is her husband. So in that sense, Lord Shiva's position actually is far superior to Brahma's. Brahma knew that. Although in this context, in the material context, in the universal context, Lord Shiva seems to be Brahma's son, because he appeared from the body of Brahma, from between the eyebrows of Brahma. In that sense, he is Brahma's son. He came from Lord Brahma, came through Lord Brahma in this material nature. But Daksha didn't understand that. He was so puffed up, and that's what actually happens with the materialistic person. What is the meaning of a materialistic person? Materialistic person is a person who is entangled by the influence, or affected by the influence of the material nature or the illusory energy of the Lord. And what does the illusory energy do? The illusory energy makes him think that he is the greatest. And that is the meaning of material conditioning. He thinks, everyone in this material nature thinks that he is the greatest. Why? Because his consciousness is projected towards the material nature, which is the external energy of the Lord, inferior energy of the Lord. Whereas he is coming from the superior nature of the Lord. Jivas are coming from the superior nature, and material nature is inferior. Now, although a living entity is minute, but because he comes from the superior nature of the Lord, he thinks that this material nature is meant to lord over. Because whatever he sees is material. Even the living entities, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he sees in a material way. The deity of the Lord, he sees as stone or wood or metal. Just a statue. But I am greater. I am conscious. I am capable of doing so many things. But this statue, what can he do? It's just standing there in the... Some fools have just installed him and worshipping him. That is the materialistic people's understanding. They see the greatest person, he thinks, oh, I am greater than him. It's only a matter of time. Bill Gates, just give me a few years, I'll become bigger than Bill Gates. He thinks he's the most handsome, most beautiful. He's endowed, he thinks that he may be the most ugly personality, but he thinks that he's the most handsome. And he thinks that everything in this world is meant for his enjoyment. That is the meaning of the illusory energy of the Lord. On the other hand, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, he begins to see that Krishna is the greatest. And in the light of that, he recognizes his position to be absolutely insignificant. And the more he comes closer to Krishna, or more he becomes Krishna conscious, the more humble he becomes. So, this, as I was mentioning, Nandishwar became extremely upset, because these people, okay fine, Daksha had insulted Lord Shiva, but why these exalted personalities who are present in this assembly didn't protest? They are brahmanas. They are supposed to be situated in knowledge. They are supposed to know what is what. After all, they are they are well conversant with the Vedic wisdom. They are brahmanas. They should know. So therefore Nandishwar actually cursed them. Nandishwar cursed them. That although you are learned, although you are conversant with the Vedic wisdom, but you didn't understand the purports of the real meaning of the Vedic wisdom. Therefore you will never understand the Vedic wisdom. You'll never understand that the goal of Vedic wisdom is to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He cursed them. You won't understand. You Brahmanas, you won't understand that the goal of the Vedas is to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, because you are in such bodily consciousness, you'll be concerned only about the ritualistic and karmakanda section of the Vedas. And then he cursed them that because you are in bodily concept of life, you are seeing everything from the material perspective, you will remain bound in the cycle of birth and death. And then he told them that because you are in such bodily concept of life, in order to maintain yourself, you have to go begging from door to door. Your occupation will be begging. And because Daksha acted like such a stupid fool, his head will fall off and he'll get a goat's head. It was actually Nandikesha's curse. And we can see, although it happened long, long time ago in Satya Yuga, we can see what the Brahmanas are like, so-called Brahmanas. Even today, we can see that. It's not just some fairy tales, it's all factual. It happened because of his curse. And then Bhrigu counter-cursed Nandi. That the associates of Lord Shiva will become atheistic. They'll become atheists. They live in an abominable way, in all kinds of dirty places. Their activities will be very, very uncouth. They'll be uncivilized. They'll partake to meat eating and drinking alcohol. That also we see. Not only alcohol, they take ganja, charas, LSD. We notice so many people became the... I remember in the mid-60s, early 70s, the hippies, they were all mostly Shiva's devotees. Before Srila Prabhupada came, before they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, mostly they were Shiva's devotees. They used to go to Benares, which is the place of Lord Shiva. They didn't go to Vrindavan, they used to go to Benares. And they lived in a very, very unclean life. So in that way you can see, and what to speak of those recognized Shiva devotees in India. They are all extremely unclean in their activities and nature. Some of them act like ghosts, and that's another thing. The ghosts are actually the associates of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is so merciful that he gives shelter to even those creatures. Bhut, Pret, Pishacha, they're all Lord Shiva's associates. But at the same time, Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees. Vaishnavanam Jatha Sambhu. And there are others also who are devotees of Lord Shiva, but they are actually devotees of Krishna. They are Vaishnavas. And so in this way, the animosity developed between Daksha and these and Lord Shiva. And this is brings up another point. It's actually very difficult to understand Lord Shiva. Similarly, it's very difficult to recognize a devotee. A devotee cannot be recognized from materialistic point of view. We cannot judge a devotee by his appearance, by his wealth, by his fame, and because all these are external, material considerations. In order to recognize a devotee, we have to go into within their heart, and we have to recognize the love that he has for Krishna. That is the only consideration, only recognizable factor in a devotee. How much love he has for Krishna. Sometimes in ISKCON also we fail to recognize very exalted devotees. Even in a Vaishnava community we see that we fail to recognize very exalted devotees because we tend to judge people, judge even the devotees from materialistic point of view. How big a position he has. We try to judge him according to position. We try to judge him according to his material assets, wealth. Therefore Prabhupada used to say, don't try to see a devotee with your eyes. The only way you can recognize a devotee, only way you can see a devotee is through your ears. Try to see a devotee through your ears. And if at all you have to see a devotee through your eyes, then try to see how attached he is to Krishna. How selflessly he is rendering his service to Krishna. That is the main consideration for a devotee. How much he is doing for Krishna. Sometimes less intelligent people, we notice that people get a lot of followers, especially in countries like India, for persons, those who are very handsome. They're sadhus, but they say, oh, he looks so handsome. I have seen, like many sadhus in India, they became big, they got big recognition because they are so handsome. And they can act very well. They speak Ramayana, Mahabharata, they speak, nowadays by Prabhupada's mercy it has become very, Bhagavat Katha has become very popular. I remember in Vrindavan I hardly saw anyone doing Bhagavat Katha before. And now we go to Vrindavan, everywhere you see posters. Such and such person giving Bhagavat Katha and so forth. But before ISKCON came and popularized Krishna consciousness, nobody was interested in Bhagavat Katha. They were doing Ram Katha, Mahabharata Katha, etc. But Bhagavat Katha, Krishna Katha was not so popular. Anyway, I mean, these people, they are very good actors. They sing well. They can make a big show of their so-called devotion. And thousands of people come to listen to them. But not a single one becomes a devotee. They go to their, to participate in those programs, thousands, sometimes they get 25, 30,000 people coming. But not a single one changes his lifestyle. They listen to the Bhagavad Katha, as soon as they go out, they light their cigarette and start smoking. Or they'll go to the restaurant with their family and friends and eat all kinds of garbage. And before eating those garbage, they'll have a drink of alcohol. So what's the use? This is a kind of entertainment for them. And these people are not devotees, they're entertainers, like actors and actresses. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic. Try to see a sadhu, try to see a devotee through your ears. How much is changing your life? How much is changing your consciousness? That should be the most important consideration. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Before the conch shell blows, if there is any question, or they are waiting for me to class, stop the, end the class and then they will blow the conch shell. Any question?
Yeah. So, These problems didn't speak up, and you mentioned because they're in the bodily concept. Was there any other reason? There were so many great personalities there who didn't say anything when Gosha demoted.
Yeah, because they did not recognize, they didn't recognize Lord Shiva's position, exalted position. They felt, in one way, they felt that, well, Lord Shiva should have offered respect to Daksha, because he is his son-in-law, and Daksha is his father-in-law. So to respect the superior is custom. So they, but that was a bodily concept. That was a bodily consideration. Son-in-law, father-in-law. But the real relationship should be with Krishna in the center. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.